Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for traveling mercy to be included and be born safely here in our own power. But as we meet together, we claim the Holy Spirit's presence that will guide us in the discussion, will enlighten us, and will prepare our mind to look at it for what it is and for ourselves in obedience. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, everyone.
Hi,
Cadette, you're there.
Yeah.
I was there earlier. We didn't meet.
And Vivon is here also.
Hi, Vivon. You're in London.
Yes.
Welcome to London.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay. I thought today we'll start a new chapter in the prayer book, Ellen G. White. We're looking at answered prayer. It's chapter 11, page 98, and it's more reading in the first three sections. I think next week or week after, there'll be a lot more Bible verses. The reading starts by, God will answer if we ask. The worldly wisdom teaches that prayer is not essential. So that's the beginning of Satan itself, not to pray. It's not that prison for not to pray to God is not essential. Hello, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
How are you?
Not too bad.
Are you on?
I'm getting there. But surely. Thank you. How are you, Mr. Nowley?
I am okay. Yes, thank you. Yes.
I was just thinking this morning
about how you're doing with your eyes.
Yeah, it's getting there. I was getting some like black spots across my eyes, but I didn't get any today.
Okay.
That is to be expected. Well, they said it could happen. Yeah, so.
But you can see okay though.
Pardon?
You can see okay your vision.
Yes, thank God.
Well, thank God.
I can't do for too long.
Yeah.
A lot of reading for too long, but
you start to kick off for a while, for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just starting on the answered prayer from Ellen G. White book.
Okay.
On prayer, chapter 11. It said, God will answer if we ask. Worldly wisdom teaches that prayer is not essential. Men of science claim that there can be no real answers to prayer, I suppose. That this would be a violation of the law. A miracle and that miracle have no existence. The universe, they say, is governed by fixed law, and God himself does nothing contrary to this law. I don't know if you want any comment.
Well, I see the dial went back a few degrees, didn't it, in the time of Hezekiah?
Yes. So, I mean, it's from the Great Controversy, of course. It's how Satan will play in the universe. So he said, the universe, they say, is governed by fixed law. And God himself does nothing contrary to these laws. Thus they represent God as bound by his own law. I you know, then they don't know God's law, in that case, you know. As if the operation of divine laws could exclude divine freedom. Such teaching is opposed to the testimony of the scripture. Were not miracles wrought by Christ and his apostle, the same compassionate Savior lives today, and is as willing to listen to the prayer of faith as when he walked visibly among men. The natural cooperate with the supernatural. It is a part of God's plan to grant us, in answer to the prayer of faith, that which he would not bestow, did we not thus ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to comment. That's Great Controversy, page 5-5. You know, it's a contrast of men's of science, as they say. So basically, they say there's no God. Or no God's, there's no God's law, there's no God.
But I like the part where Ellen G. White says that we should ask,
yes,
and God is willing to give us, but he wouldn't give us if we don't ask.
We don't ask.
And that is the thing for us,
yes,
these days.
Yes.
We need to ask God.
Yes.
According to his will, he is ready to give us.
Yes.
And we are willing to ask for faith.
It is a part
but
of God's God.
We lack people to acknowledge us. We like them to come and say, thank you for what you've done. We like them. We like to get something that brings us up.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we do it to God?
Yes, yes.
Why can't we acknowledge that he's in a higher position than
mm-hmm.
us, and he is the one who can provide? Very often we forget that the way we are going out, we're going towards the end of time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very important aspect of looking at our Christianity and at our spiritual life. Recognize the power of God.
Mm.
Okay. The next paragraph is, when you are privileged to meet with your brethren in the church, the group collective, yes, tell them of the necessity of keeping open the channel of communication between God and the soul.
Yes.
The prayer, like one advanced step to the soul, which is the inner
being.
Yes. So I guess I was thinking, maybe it meant when you pray, you still have to feel it, instead of just verbalize it, mouthing it, to know the significance of what you're saying, what you're praying for, all of us.
I think because God is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man of faith that most effectual.
Yes.
I think there are so much in there. It's very deep. Because we are talking about our God, who is our creator, the creator of the whole world. Do we really recognize who our creator is? And that he is the one who provides. He is the one who guides. He is the one who enlightens. And if we look on the surface and think, you know, so much and so forth, it really, you know, it make us don't really know who we are and where we stand, isn't it? And it, without our God providing us, where will we get anything?
Okay. So the next is to tell them that if they will find heart and voice to pray, God will answer to their prayers. So that is significant. So tell them that if they will find heart and voice to pray, God will find answers to their prayers. You know, the point of communication, heart and voice together, so coordinated prayer. Tell them not to neglect their religious duties.
Mm-hmm.
Exhort the brethren to pray. We must seek if we would find. We must ask if we would receive. We must knock if we would have the door, if we would have the door open to us. That must be in Matthew 7:11. We can have a look at the Bible. Matthew 7.
That was Matthew 7:7-8 that you just read.
Yes, Matthew 7:7-11.
And it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. All. What man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?
I think that it's such a great message here. We need to really know who is our Father, and that He is the one who will provide us everything. Mm-hmm. We need to put our full trust in Him, and we need to call on Him. It doesn't matter what the journey is like. It could be difficult times, but God said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake. If you call on me, and I will answer you. It's really learning to love our God, and to trust Him, to call on Him, and we will see the massive difference.
Okay, thank you. The next bit says, Jesus does not call on us to follow Him, then forsake us. If we surrender our lives to His service, we can never be placed in a position for which God has not made provision. Whatever may be our situation, we have calling her again. Whatever may be our situation, we have a guide to direct our way. You get that?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever our perplexities, we have a sure counselor. Whatever our sorrow, bereavement, or loneliness, we have a sympathizing friend. If in our ignorance we make missteps, Christ doesn't leave us.
True.
So,
for reassuring.
Yeah. So he said in Matthew 21:22, all things whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah. But, yeah. Do you have any comment on that section?
I think where it says all things that you ask, believe and you shall receive. It's also remembering that we should ask according to God's will.
Yes.
Because many people might misinterpret that as basically anything. Yes. But it's according to God's will.
Yeah. And I think also there is a reason why your prayer, my prayer, hasn't been answered, because He has something that is, He has working on something.
Yeah.
So it's that's why we always ask for, if it's His will, because He knows what's best for us. We might be asking for something, but that's not good for us.
Mm.
We were able to know all our questions, all those whys. when we will get all to that moment when we are going to face Him, we can ask all those questions of why things happen or why answered not been our prayers not been answered. So we can file all those questions to Him.
But I think also it's a big learning, because who are we? Do we know the end from the beginning? And God knows. And we are learning. And when we call on God, He knows He will give us the things that are the best for us. And if things are not happening, we trust God to guide us so that we can follow His steps. And then, of course, we will see the massive difference in the answers that He gives us according to His will.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard it said, when we pray, there's three answers: yes, no, or wait.
Yeah. Right.
You know, sometimes we might think the answer is no, but in fact, God is saying, wait, I will give it to you when the time is right. We don't know what we need and when we need it, but God knows. So sometimes, you know, we just have to pray about it and just be, you know, just depend on God for the answer. And, you know, it's not in our time, it's in God's time.
Thank you.
Amen.
Now the next one said, God's blessing will come as a result of humble faith. So ask, and now ask in faith. A close connection with heaven will be the right turn to your fidelity and will be the ground of your success. She says, I wrote sort of complicated sentences. A close connection with heaven will give the right turn to your fidelity and will be the ground for your success. Your feeling of dependence will drive you to prayer, and your sense of duty summon you to effort, full stop. Prayer and effort and prayer will be the business of your life. Mm-hmm. So prayer and effort. I was questioning effort for what? You know, effort and prayer.
Well, I would say here, if we are just asking and we haven't really got the enthusiasm to know that we are things that God has opened the doors for us to learn and to work and to do things for Him, for our blessings, for others. I think there are loads in there. I'm just putting it in the point.
And I also think the effort is your consistency. You don't give up. You put that effort, I didn't get it today, I keep on going, I didn't get it tomorrow. The effort you put in and the faith you have, that He will give it to us.
Because it has to do with the prayer you're praying, actually praying. Yes. Not effort in anything else. It's a prayer related to the prayer. So, prayer and effort and prayer will be the business of your life. You must pray as though the efficiency and praise were all due to God, and labor as though duty were all your own. If you want power, you may have it. It is waiting your draft upon it. Only believe in God, take Him at His word, act by faith, and blessing will come. In this matter, genius, logic, and eloquence will not avail. So simple prayer then. Those who have a humble, trusting, contrite heart, God accepts and hear their prayers. When God helps, all obstacles will be overcome.
Oh, yes.
how many men of great natural abilities and high scholarship have failed when placed in position of responsibility? I've already seen here in the Westminster already. While those of feebler intellect whose less favorable surrounding has been wonderfully successful. No.
So it's not the people who have a great intellect, no.
Mm.
And as we look through the Bible, sense, we would see God never called those who were up there, who were very learned. Look at the fishermen, the simple men. And then again, he said, we have to become like little children in order to accept it.
I would also add to that is that it's not looking at we are better than anybody and whatever. No, we should be humble and know that whatever talent and time and opportunity God gives us, to love our God and to love those around us, and where we can be like God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, love your neighbor as yourself, to be of service to our God in serving others. Whatever little things we do, whatever big things we do, is for ourselves. You know how we love all those from our own house, those from our on the street, those our neighbors, and we look at how we can support and help and also share the great God we have that loves us and provide everything for us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The secret was the former, great men of natural abilities and high scholarship has failed when placed in position of responsibility, while those of feebler intellect with less favorable surrounding has been wonderfully successful. The secret was, the former trusted in himself, while the latter trusted with him, who is wonderful in counsel and mighty in working to accomplish what he will. That's when you saw all the kings of Israel. David, like Ahab, on side. Always the big king think they would win, but the little king always won. You know, find out his truth. And he said, that also is a testimony for the churches, volume 4. Simple prayers indicted by the Holy Spirit will ascend through the gate ajar. The open door which Christ has declared, I have opened and no man can shut. These prayers mingle with incense at the perfection of Christ will ascend as fragrance to the Father, and answers will come.
Mm-hmm.
A testimony to the church is volume 6, 4, 6, 7. Get that? Last one.
So the prayer doesn't go unheeded. Mm-hmm. It says it has sent to God like fragrance.
Yeah.
You know? Before God. And when it reaches, the blessing comes down. What a God we have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he always keep to his word. His word is steadfast. Pray, ask me, and I will bless you.
Okay. He said, prayers of a child, of childlike simplicity and faith will be answered.
Mm.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Whoever drinketh the water that I shall give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing into everlasting life. That is John chapter 7, verse 37. If with these promises before us we choose to remain parched and withered for want of water of life, it is our own fault. If we would come to Christ with the simplicity of a child coming to his earthly parent and ask for the thing that he has promised, believing that we receive them, we shall have them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because we still struggle with this.
Yeah.
The else we don't get, and Jim said you are coming.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get.
Then he said we have to ask according to God's will.
Yeah.
Because we really don't know what to ask for. From our human standpoint, we say, well, I want this, I want that, but God says, that is not good for you. And you remember when we pray, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers to God and translates it into heavenly language. Because we don't know what to always want to ask for. And that is why I say we ask amiss.
And I think that's a big lesson for each of one of us. Because we could be asking and we have. If we really study God's word and trust the word of God, and we know if we don't get things, we trust our God that maybe we have asked amiss, and God can guide us to ask the right thing, to do the things that he has planned for us, and we don't get ourselves distressed, and you know, that we don't know why we think it didn't happen. We have to trust our God for God to guide us so that we can grow spiritually and come closer to God.
But you remember you always say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Sometimes we think we're praying and we're not getting it, but then we have to examine
ourselves. We also sorrow.
Yes.
We have to relearn to say sorrow.
Yes.
Jesus did give us an example of how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. So when we pray, it's paramount that we ask for forgiveness in every prayer. Before we put our request before, we ask for forgiveness. And also, when we pray, we should, just say, ask God, if it is your will, what we're praying for, ask God to give it to us if it is his will, because it's not for us to say we want this or we want that, but it's according to God's will. So I always said, God, if it is your will, let it be done.
Yes.
So that sometimes, we have to also not set ourselves up to be disappointed, because sometimes if we pray about something and we don't get it, we can feel disappointed. So we have to pray and remember we can only pray according to God's will.
And I would like to add to that, because the thing is, we pray and if God knows the best for us, then you don't get it, you have to thank God
that
he knows the best and enlighten us to be able to look at what his will is, and
make
the difference instead of getting distressed and so forth. No.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to trust our God through and through, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we will see the massive difference.
I agree. We need to remember that he had written that your thoughts are not my thoughts. That means to say, what we were asking might be not good for us, so God is already thinking of a good thing for that and for that prayer, much better than what you are asking.
Yes.
And also, even we can adapt that concept to when we pray for someone who's sick and then they die. If we pray for someone, we have to say, according to your will. It's, many times we see people who are sick, even in our family. And they're very sick. I remember one of my colleagues at work, her mom was sick for quite a while. She wasn't eating. She was literally like a vegetable. She wasn't eating or drinking or anything, in a lot of pain and so forth. And I remember my colleague was so angry when her mom died. And another colleague had to sort of, she didn't say it to her, but she made a comment to say, you know, would she have preferred her mom to keep living in that condition, mm-hmm. you know, in mm-hmm. such a vegetable state? And knowing that, oh gosh, sorry, my alarm's going off on my medication, sorry. You know, she just made that comment to say, would she prefer her mom to be in that condition, or the Lord has put her to sleep to take her out of her pain and suffering? You know, so sometimes when we pray for people who are sick, we have to remember, we have to pray for God's will to be done in that person's life.
Okay. Pray and believe. God doesn't say ask once and you shall receive. He bids us ask and willingly persist in prayer. The persistent of asking brings the petitioner into more earnest attitude. And give him an increased desire to receive the thing for which he asks. Christ said to Martha at the grave of Lazarus, "If thou wouldn't believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God." But many have not a living faith. This is why they do not see more of the power of God. It doesn't apply to all of us, our church, I think. Okay. But in England, at least, I don't know about abroad. When you read abroad, you hear a different kind of news.
When Jesus brought Lazarus back to life, there were many Jews standing around. You couldn't fail to believe then, could they?
Yes. And there's more the evidence.
Part of this week's Sabbath school lesson, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned that they actually said the persistent asking brings the petitioner into a more earnest attitude and give him an increased desire to receive the thing for which he asked. Mm-hmm. So I said to Martha at the grave of Lazarus, if thou wouldn't believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Mm-hmm. That would believe. But many have not the living faith. This is why they do not see the power, more power of God. Their weakness is a result of their unbelief. They may have more faith in their own working and in the working of God for them than in the working of God for them. They take themselves into their own keeping. They plan and devise, but really, they have little real trust in God. They think they have faith, but it's only the impulse of the moment. And failing to realize their own need, or God's willingness to give, they do not persevere in keeping their request before the Lord. So it means like we ask one, twice, and three times.
And then we stop.
When we don't get an answer, we just stop on thinking, oh well. You know, I say that myself. Oh, I've asked so many times. Maybe we should leave it. But it seems here, it doesn't say that at all.
Mm-hmm. And also remember that some of our prayers need to have, along with the praying and fasting.
Mm-hmm.
I will again add to that, we only are very narrow in what we understand it and what we think it can be best for us. But in having the great faith in our God that He knows the end from the beginning, mm-hmm. and we call on Him and we ask, and He will give us what is best for us. If what we are asking we're not getting, then we can trust Him in enlightening us, in guiding us. And, you know, we put things at His feet all the time, and He will give us the things that are most appropriate for us. And we need to trust Him through and through in the faith that we have to enlighten us.
Yeah, I agree. Faith is faith, praying with
our human mind also. Mm-hmm. God will give us something else. What I want to say that, I said ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you will receive.
He knows best. He knows that there are certain things we are asking. Maybe we are narrow and we are just looking at whatever. And God will enlighten. For me, I would say, God will enlighten us. And therefore, when I look back, I'd say, yes, God didn't give. Thank Him for His great guidance and His great love for doing what He did.
Yeah.
How many examples of prayer do we have in the Bible? How many of them reflect the way we pray? When Jesus is human, he was human on earth. He was not God. He was going through all what humanity was going. Mm-hmm. How did he pray? He left the crowd, he went to the mountain and he prayed. He went away from them. Now this is what teaches. When we pray, are we praying at the same time hearing the sound that is going there, mm-hmm. or thinking of what am I going to eat next, or thinking of what am I going to buy?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we have is to get rid of everything that is not godly.
Okay, thank you. Nearly finished now. But many have not a living faith. This is why they do not see more of the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Their weaknesses is the result of unbelief, and they have more faith in their own working than in the working of the Spirit of God. They take themselves into their own keeping. They plan to divide the creditor, and they have little real trust in God. They think they have faith, but it's only internal. It's only the impulse of the moment. Failure to realize their own need or God's willingness to give, they do not persevere in keeping their request before the Lord. Our prayer ought to be as earnest and as persistent as were the petition of the needy friend who works for love at three times. The more earnestly and steadfastly we are, the more closer we get this spiritual union with Christ. You can understand that. The more earnestly and steadfastly we are, the more the closer will be our spiritual life in union with Christ. We shall receive increased blessing because we have increased faith.
Amen.
The portion of us to mix all that together.
Mm-hmm.
Our part is to pray and believe. That's only our part. Our part is only to pray our faith, of course, and to believe. I shall watch also berate. Part of the praying, hearing God. Bear in mind that we are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. He says, speak and act in harmony with your prayers. It will make an infinite devotion free. It will make an infinite difference with you whether trials shall prove your faith to be genuine or show that your prayers are only a form. I'll stop there. You get that? Our part only is to pray and believe. That's the simple.
The measure of our blessing depends on the measure of our faith.
Watch unto prayer. Watch, cooperate with the prayer hearing God. Bear in mind that we are laborers together with God. Speak and act in harmony with your prayers. It will make finite differences with you whether trials shall prove your faith to be genuine, or you shall that your prayer on be a form. That's the whole question we have to keep an eye. Is our prayer on a form? And I'll stop there for today. So that's the criteria for answered prayer.
What is that book?
Prayer.
Oh,
PGY. He gave everything, covered a lot of area, but we just do after my it's a good book because it's from almost every aspect, even Satan prayers.
Oh yes.
Or at least try to affect our prayers.
And we need to pray more and more as we come to the end of
yes.
And he said the only weapon against Satan is prayer.
Yes.
Not even more good in prayer. The only
that in there.
Weapon against
Satan
is prayer.
Yeah. So Satan don't like it when you pray. He gets his angel to bring a stone and just to come and disrupt the prayer.
True.
What we doing? Okay. We have prayer requests if you don't have any.